How's it going, everybody? Brian Alvarez here on Wrestling Observer Live. We're here for the next hour talking pro wrestling and mixed martial arts as we are every Sunday, 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 Eastern, Sports Byline USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio, Channel 92, 94, 794, XM Radio Channel 208, and streaming live worldwide on the internet at WrestlingObserver.com. Here to largely talk the biggest pay-per-view event of the summer, at least in pro wrestling. It is WWE's SummerSlam pay-per-view coming up today from Los Angeles. John Cena versus Brock Lesnar is the main event of the show. Stephanie McMahon versus Brie Bella. Dean Ambrose will be facing Seth Rollins. We're going to run down all of the matches on the show. We're going to give you our predictions as well as look at the betting odds for the show as of a couple of hours before it kicks off. So it's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to talk about all of that. Plus, there's a lot of news to get into this week that we shall touch on. Yes, there was a UFC last night. Ryan Bader in the main event against Ovin St. Preux. We'll get some thoughts from Mike on that one. We'll talk about all of the television. Raw, SmackDown, TNA Impact, which is moving nights. Moving to Wednesday, starting this coming Wednesday. So if you're hearing it here for the first time, set your DVRs a day early. For TNA Impact, they are moving dates. We'll talk about that. Plus, yes, I wrestled last night. I'm alive. Talk a little bit about that if we feel like it, if we have time. Plus, all of the other news in pro wrestling and mixed martial arts. As of right now, for those of you checking out the odds, Brock Lesnar still a favorite over John Cena. Most people expecting Brock to win since John Cena won their first match, and it would make no sense for Brock Lesnar to break the streak and then go into SummerSlam and lose the championship match. The big question, not just who will win, and of course, these odds could swing. John Cena could end up with the title at the end of the night. But if Brock Lesnar does win, what do you do with the WWE title from this point forward? Are they really going to take that belt off television and house shows from now until WrestleMania? Or is there another plan in the works? We're going to talk about all of that and so much more. Going to be a fun time, so stick around, everybody, back in just a moment. You are listening to Wrestling Observer Live here on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We are joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. We are here every Sunday, 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 Eastern, Sports Byline USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio, Channel 92, 94, 794, XM Radio Channel 208, and streaming live worldwide on the internet at WrestlingObserver.com. And Mike, we're here to talk about SummerSlam and so much more. What's going on in your life?
I'm just the countdown has begun to the SummerSlam party that will take place at Casa de Semp. It's not as much of a party as it used to be in the past. Because I have kids and I don't want to deal with any of those people anymore coming over, eating up all my food, getting in the way, bothering me. So it's just going to be me and the boy sitting there watching SummerSlam tonight.
Wow, not even having any friends over.
Not trying to have anybody over. See, I still got to work tomorrow morning. So that's one of the things right there. Plus, again, I just don't want to be bothered. I want to sit and watch this. This match that almost seemingly has never taken place before. It's almost been a figment of people's imaginations. When these superstars are asked about it, they try to recollect back and they go, I think John Cena and Brock Lesnar had a match. I think there was a chain. There were things involved, but I can't quite recall what happens. And then they make their selection on who they think is going to win. I just want to take all of that in myself.
What's your boy excited to see tonight?
I think Cena and Lesnar. I still think that's the biggest deal for him. He's got no care, really, with Stephanie and Brie. That's actually my wife's biggest thing. She would, and no surprise there, she's most interested in seeing that. But I think if it's not the main event, because he is a John Cena guy, and Brock Lesnar being larger than life, and my son, of course, having to live with me, so he has been influenced with the UFC stuff. He's very in tune to who Brock Lesnar is as well. So I know he's excited for that, but I think maybe outside of that, if there was going to be something, Swagger Rusev, because it's been such a cartoon, and he's a big Dolph Ziggler fan as well, too. So he and The Miz, who, again, The Miz, it's amazing for all of us out there who he drives absolutely nuts, and we don't necessarily want to see him on our TVs, certainly wouldn't be our first choices. When you hit the age of like 17, 18, and mostly, 16 and under, The Miz does have a draw over these kids for whatever reason it is. So Dolph and The Miz is probably next up on his
list. Tell me more about this. What draw does The Miz have over these youngsters? This is the first I've heard of this.
Well, not necessarily. Remember when the guy called in and he had his daughter in the car and he said, you know, guess who my daughter has bought 2 t-shirts, I think it was. Who they're of.
Yeah.
And I almost actually said The Miz, and then it ultimately ended up being The Miz. And whatever it is, whether it's appearances on the Teen Choice Awards, whether it's the baby face and the goofiness and all that sort of stuff, the MTV thing, because, again, there were people that I wasn't a real world fan that saw him on there, and I guess he probably did some of the other things after that as well before he joined Tough Enough. There is some sort of draw, whatever it is, with guys like him and Kofi Kingston, and there's a handful others that, for whatever reason, kids just and younger people tend to gravitate to. I know with The Miz, too, him having the shirts that haters love me and stuff like that, there's been a lot of that, you know, type of merchandise out where, you know, hello, I'm awesome. Some of that stuff probably had a little bit to do with it, too.
Well, to be fair, I have enjoyed Miz more in his latest run than I ever have before. And did you watch SmackDown this week with the Roman Reigns Miz TV segment?
That's the only thing I watched on SmackDown, because somebody had tweeted and I sent it to you, the shot of Roman hitting The Miz, which the wobble of his face, I did actually have to go out of my way to see that segment just to see how good it was.
Was that not great?
It was awesome. Which, I thought that was great. You the picture, you were actually there, which, how many times did they re-show that on the monitor?
I think at least, I think they showed it at least 3 times after it happened, and then later in the evening they showed it again. It was great. It was great.
Yeah, and you can see Reigns with his fingers out. You know, it's not like he delivered some sort of Dick Murdoch, you know, right hand from 1976, you know, to the front row of the crowd, making sure you knew it was real. But it was a great shot, and Miz sold it great with the glasses flying off and everything. And yeah, that was, I don't know who said it this week on one of the shows, but there was, I think everybody had a little bit of concern with Roman Reigns after the last pay-per-view and would people really take to him. But by putting him in the first segment, by limiting how much he talks, and by making him look like the Superman that people want him to be in the matches, they are buying, you know, a good deal of time here. Or hopefully they're buying themselves a good deal of time to make sure that Roman Reigns is in the position they want him to be as we chug towards the end of the year, get into Royal Rumble, and then obviously up to WrestleMania next year.
The only thing that I didn't like about it, I can't even believe I'm being critical of it because I thought it was so awesome. But if I were going to be critical of one thing, it's that I really like the Miz storyline of he thinks he's like a big time movie star and he doesn't want anybody to touch his face. And to me, it's something where you build to it, you build to it, you build to it. He avoids getting hit in the face. And then finally somebody just wallops him, whether it be the Superman punch, or I think the original idea was the big brogue kick to the face. And then you get the big pop out of it. But now it's sort of like his gimmick is he doesn't like being hit in the face. So he gets hit in the face every single day, which I guess is kind of funny, but it turns it into more like it's just sort of like a mid-card act now. You know, he's the geek that always gets punched in the face.
This isn't exactly, I guess, Flair and Tommy Young doing the push-down spot in every match or something like that.
Or what was that match? Was it, I think it might have been like, there was a Chris Benoit match. This was a long time ago in WCW. And it was built around the chop. I can't remember who he was wrestling, but they avoided the chop. They avoided the chop. They avoided the chop. And finally, somebody went to do like the headstand in the corner and they landed on the ground, but Benoit had not run under them. And so they turned around and he chopped them so hard. And the place just went absolutely crazy that this chop had finally been delivered. That's what I'm talking about here. And that was just in one match. You know, Miz could have built it up over a period of time. And then finally he's got like a big match. And ideally, like, if the belt meant anything, you build up to that one big match, and not only does he get hit in the face, but that's the finish, and he loses the title. That, to me, is like, that's where I would have gone with the whole thing, but what the heck. It was a funny punch. It was great. It made the segment awesome, And Roman Reigns is their guy.
And again, you know how WWE is, too. I mean, if this is something because of the position that that belt's in, and frankly, the position that The Miz is in, you know, if this is going to be a move that's built up to every match, you know, like one of those flare flops or a Santino salute or something like that, I don't think that would be all that bad of a deal, too. Like Dolph Ziggler tonight, obviously, Miz is going to be, you know, dodging his face because he's in Hollywood in the whole nine yards, and it builds up to, you know, him with a backhand to the face or even, you know, something that leads to the finisher. I think if you do that in every match, as long as you have a creative way to get to it and he doesn't necessarily do it every week, I still think it could be an effective thing because he is a mid-card kind of, well, geek.
Yeah, he's a mid-card geek. But hey, he's an entertaining mid-card geek. That's yes, all I care about. So tonight, it is Miz and Dolph Ziggler for the title. It is a secondary title. It doesn't really matter. Ziggler has been pushed hard on television of late. Actually, he's been pushed hard on Raw. The gimmick is he wins on every Raw and loses on every SmackDown with a couple of exceptions.
Which I guess is good, right?
Sure. I don't know. I think that they just put the belt on Miz. The days of changing the title every single week are over. I think that it was just kind of like a Dolph Ziggler build and tease leading to him losing in this match and Miz retaining the title.
Yeah, I think so, too. And maybe they even go out further with this onto another TV show or, you know, maybe to the next pay-per-view, which is what, Night of Champions or something like that. I could see that happening. I don't know when Sheamus is coming back. And to me, I don't care when you do it. You have got to merge those titles. And I'm still holding out hope.
Actually, Sheamus has been back.
Oh, well, see, again, maybe do that at Night of Champions. You know, merge those two titles. Make it a big deal for your $9.99. You're getting a special match in that they're unifying the belts at Night of Champions. I think it makes more sense with The Miz doing it as opposed to Dolph Ziggler doing it.
Well, if you merge the titles, it would certainly... We'll talk when we come back from the break about Lesnar and Cena more, but if Lesnar wins a title in his working limited schedule... you're either doing house shows with no belt or you're going to have to merge those titles, I think, and put them on a guy, a star. And that'll sort of be your main title for the time being. I don't know if they're going to do that, but we'll talk more about that when we come back from the break because we have to preview this whole SummerSlam event, which is coming up immediately after the show goes off the air from Los Angeles, the biggest WWE pay-per-view of the summer. Back in just a moment, everybody. You are listening to Wrestling Observer Live here on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We are joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. We are here every Sunday, 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 Eastern. Sports Byline at USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio, Channel 92, 94, 794, XM Radio Channel 208, and streaming live worldwide on the internet at WrestlingObserver.com. Here on Super China Buffet Day, it is the annual Empire eating holiday. We all go to buffets around the country, eat like crazy people, and then go watch SummerSlam. Great way for folks to meet other wrestling fans through the website. Probably too late for most of you listening to this, but hey, there's always next year. We are heading to the Tulalip Buffet, and we're going to have a good time eating there, then heading to my house for the pay-per-view. Always risky business, having everyone over to my house for a pay-per-view, especially if someone in particular shows up. Won't mention any names, but it's going to be fun, one way or the other. It's going to be fun. The Brock Lesnar-John Cena match is the main event of SummerSlam. Brock Lesnar is currently the odds-on favorite to win. I think he's going to win. Listen, if I were in charge, Brock Lesnar would hijack that title and he would hold it until WrestleMania, where Roman Reigns would beat him and become the champion. Now, the problem with this is that WWE is in a tenuous state. The network numbers have not been great. The big renewal period is coming up. There's a decent chance the domestic numbers may end up lower after that period than they were before. Because I think there are a lot of people that are going to do six-month commitments every year starting in January. So they get WrestleMania season and SummerSlam, and then I think they'll quit until the next Royal Rumble season. But I believe that Vince McMahon is going to panic if they put the title on Brock and they want to keep it on him through WrestleMania. I think that the network numbers are going to come in, I think the house show numbers are going to come in. And whether or not this has anything to do with the WWE title, I think that if these numbers come in and they're not great, he's going to go, oh my God, we've got to get the championship back. We've got to put it back on John Cena or whoever. And I think that he's going to change his mind. I don't think he's going to be able to hold the course through WrestleMania. I would prefer that, but I don't think he's going to do it. What are your thoughts, Mike? Who wins this match and how long does Brock hold this title?
It's a really, really good question. I think Brock definitely wins this match. How long he holds it for, I don't know. And you're really, it's hard to believe that Vince won't panic because they have panicked so many times for so many different reasons. And they've made rash decisions and gone off the direction that they were going because, again, panic sets in. If you have Brock win the title and then have him lose it, say it, I don't know, however and whenever, you know, whether it's even you strip it off of him because he does something so diabolical, they take the title off so they're able to drum up interest and lead to him at Royal Rumble or something like that. I think it really hurts him losing to or him beating The Undertaker this past WrestleMania. I don't even think he should lose at this upcoming WrestleMania. I think you need to put an agreement in place with Brock where, to me, at least for like another year, that means something. You know, him coming back is this, you know, major big event and big deal. That means something. And I'll completely understand if he does lose at this WrestleMania. But, you know, say somebody like a Roman Reigns, is he going to be ready? If he's not ready or they don't have a better plan, I think he should just hold on to it the entire time. I think they have, you know, panicked with, we cannot have John Cena on TV. Well, Cena hasn't really been on TV. It hasn't been that big of a deal. As long as you have Paul Heyman in the mix, doesn't necessarily mean you have to have Brock Lesnar on TV every week. There's creative things you can do to have Brock Lesnar not on TV, to not have the world champion on TV, but still have everybody on there wanting to get to him or get at him. It takes a little bit of creativity, and I don't think they should panic. Will they panic? They may. But if any decision they do is made off of that, it to me, it's going to be a bad one. The same way, if your plan is to have John Cena win tonight, I think that's just a big, big mistake. It's time for Lesnar to beat Cena. It's time for everybody to kind of focus on him and have the whole company kind of angling up at his direction, and you use him as either the bully on TV when he is on TV or as this massive shadow in the room where Heyman is out there running his mouth for him and running his mouth for for Brock Lesnar. I think that makes more sense.
Also on the show, it is the Stephanie McMahon versus Brie Bella match. And
the reason a lot of people are tuning in.
A lot of people are very interested in this match. That's not even a joke. I don't know how many are more interested in that than Lesnar and Cena. But they've done a pretty good job building it up, at least until Monday when they brought back Claire Lynch, which I don't know why.
Sort of legit, folks.
Sometimes you got something. Like, they peaked, I think, 2 weeks ago on Raw. And so really all you needed on Raw Monday was just like a video recap of how awesome everything was, but they couldn't help themselves. They had to do another angle and it sucked. So I wasn't a fan of that, but you know what? It's still probably going to be a lot of fun. They've been working on their match a lot. They're working very hard to have a good match. They're going to get some time. So we'll see. Brie Bella's turned into a pretty good worker. Daniel Bryan's obviously helped her out a lot. Stephanie McMahon, I think, if they work it out and they're smoke and mirrors, I'm sure this can be fine. And big question is, what do you do here? Brie Bella could win, but she could also lose. I know that was very profound what I just said right there.
Very deep right there.
Well, I'm just thinking that, like, Nikki Bella, I think at the end of the day, Nikki Bella is going to screw her sister. So the question is, like, normally you could go, okay, well, they're probably going to have a series. You know, Brie can win this one. You set up a return match, and then her sister screws her, and Stephanie gets the win or something like that. But because it's Stephanie McMahon, this all changes because I don't know if Stephanie McMahon is coming back for a match at Night of Champions. I kind of think it's a one-off. And if it's a one-off and you're going to have her sister screw her, then pretty much Brie doesn't win this match. Stephanie McMahon wins. So It's just kind of weird to do like a one-off and the heel authority figure beats the wrestler, but I suppose the whole thing could be that Brie is then going to do a feud with Nikki, and then Brie gets the win in the end, so the babyface gets their big win. But I don't know what they're going to do, but a lot of people interested in this match, Mike.
When's the next season of Total Divas begin taping?
Oh, it's already taping.
They're in Los Angeles. They're in Hollywood.
They taped a ton of stuff. It's getting ready to air.
Wonder if Nikki Bella is going to screw B Bella. And, you know, I again, think the same thing for obvious reasons. Is Stephanie really going to be in the mix? At least, you know, as a competitor. I think there's just more you can do with Nikki and Brie, whether it's got to do with Daniel Bryan being there. And again, there's so many. It's all soap opera-ish, and it's all, you know, sports entertainment-ish. But there's a lot of things I think you can do going in that direction and still keep Stephanie involved in as a thorn in Brie's side or something like that. But I think the same way you do, Nikki ends up getting it over. And here's the other thing. I can even see Brie winning, but the bottom line will still be the same thing, whether it's, you know, Nikki comes out afterwards and, you know, they're both got Stephanie cornered and she's going to do something and then Nikki turns on her. So you could even see Brie winning here. I think the biggest thing about this is what the swerve is going to be at the end that leads us to whatever it's going to lead us to.
So Brie could win and then Nikki screws her or attacks her or something after the match.
Absolutely.
Something,
you know,
has to make sense, though. I need like a, I hope they've got when she does turn, I hope they've got like a really good explanation for it. Because really, in the storyline, Brie got Nikki a raise, right?
Yeah, actually she did.
She
that was
got
one
her
of
a raise.
The deals.
Yeah. Now, she didn't
well,
get her a raise.
Stephanie,
and she,
when Nikki went in to sign that deal, Stephanie gave her even more money and said, look, let me tell you something here. You know, this girl is no good for you. You know, your sister, it's time for you to break away. Her husband's a bum and she's a wench. And let me tell you something, being on our side in this whole thing, it'll pay off. And win or lose, I don't want you to interfere for me, but win or lose in that match, it's time for you to break ties with your sister. And I'm telling you, we will take great care of you. Look, Eva Marie's on TV. Imagine what we could do for you.
Oh, dear God. Eva Marie. She's on TV all right, Mike. What's your son think of Eva Marie?
Doesn't like her.
Really?
Nope.
Wow.
Not a fan.
Man, Craig's son is smitten and Buddy's son smitten. They just don't get wrestling, you know what I mean?
That's, hey. Well,
actually, she's a beautiful woman. But my
yes,
God.
Yes, she is.
In
yes,
the
she
ring.
Is,
oh, my God.
I think Avery's a little more like his father, a little more of a Layla fan.
Oh, yeah?
Likes the Layla. Likes really, really, really also like his father and his father's favorite co-host. Big fan of Alexa Bliss.
Oh, good. Good.
I think Avery's actually taller than Alexa Bliss.
He may be.
It's the blonde hair, blue eye thing. They got that connection going.
You know, I was watching, I went to SmackDown in Seattle, and AJ came out, and, you know, you see Big Show in there, and he steps over the top rope. And granted, you know, he's the Big Show. He's very tall. But then you go in there, and AJ is like, you know, she's barely, I mean, her head is barely above the top rope. And then you think about, she's probably a good, what do you think? 4 inches taller than Alexa Bliss, maybe even more.
Yeah, I think she is, because what, Bliss is 4'11"?
I think she's 4'10 or 4'11.
It's not a big girl.
So to help everybody visualize this, that would be 4 inches shorter than Rey Mysterio, whose gimmick is that he hits the middle rope. I can't wait till she gets called up.
Same here. And I don't know how it's going to be or anything like that.
Well, let me say, I changed my mind about bringing her up as part of Goldust and Stardust.
Unless she really is holding the cosmic key somewhere.
Well, I don't need to see them anymore. I really like them as a wrestling team, but I'm not getting a wrestling team. I'm getting a bunch of backstage vignettes, and then their first match back is their 9,000th match with Rybacksel. I don't need to see this match like ever again.
No.
And it's funny because
she's in shape and fit and strong for her size. So there are things you could do with her that would create an ooh or an ah from the crowd. I'm almost positive.
Oh, yeah. We're going to break, everybody. I'm going to talk more about Rybacksel, and we'll continue previewing SummerSlam after the break. So hold on, everybody. Wrestling Observer Live here on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez is here, WrestlingObserver.com. We are joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. We are here every Sunday, 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 Eastern, Sports Byline, USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio, Channel 92, 94, 794, XM Radio Channel 208, and streaming live worldwide on the internet at WrestlingObserver.com. American Forces Network as well. Big shout out to everybody there. The Cable Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio app, the TuneIn Radio app. This is the most listened to wrestling slash mixed martial arts radio show in the whole world, everybody. And for more, if you just can't get enough every Sunday, daily radio shows at WrestlingObserver.com. Daily. We usually do 2 radio shows per day up at WrestlingObserver.com. All available to you via podcast. They're MP3 downloads. Great audio quality. You can listen to them on the way to work, at work. You can listen to them on a commute. If you've got a long drive, you can listen to the shows. And not only do you get all of these brand new shows, but we have an on-demand library that is no joke. It may be at this point triple the size of the WWE Networked online archived library. I believe WWE Network has 2,000 hours of programming. We have 6,000 radio shows in our archives, dating back to 2005. You will never run out of audio.
You know what, Brian, too? And on top of that, let me just interrupt the plug to say this. Even though WWE, we talk about how expansive their library is, they only go back to a certain amount, and there's not a lot of stuff sometimes that's showing. If you want to know about that stuff, there are shows with, let me toot my own horn here, me, Dave Meltzer, Carl Stern, yourself, and all of the amazing various guests we've had on over the years that talk at length about all of these territories and promotions that WWE, in theory, could be showing on this network.
Man, everything. You want the history of wrestling, you want Japan, you want Mexico, you want pro wrestling, mixed martial arts, everything. There's a show covering everything on this website, and 6,000 of them in the archives. So it's $9.99. That's right. People get confused about this. If you sign up for a long-term subscription, a one-year commitment, in fact, $9.99 a month is the price. If you sign up month-to-month, it is $10.99, which is a little bit cheaper than the WWE Network at $12.99 month-to-month. But you will never run out of audio. So check it out, everybody. As I've mentioned a million times, and we've had many people write in and say this, man, I liked Wrestling Observer Live. I'm so glad I signed up. Website is awesome. I love all the shows. Be one of those people. Check it out at WrestlingObserver.com. We've been talking about SummerSlam here, and I want to mention Rybacksel. As much as I make fun of this Stardust and Goldust against Rybacksel match, when I went to SmackDown, I saw Rybacksel in person live. Ryback is great. He's a very fun live event worker and a great heel. But I still never see this match ever again as long as I live. I'm done with it. I'm done with the Dust Brothers against the Rybacksel.
Absolutely. And, you know, and really, Joe Henning, help me here.
Curtis Axel.
Curtis Axel is actually, again, really good. He's not going to be a main event guy or anything like that. But as far as being a guy in tag teams and things like that, he's not being utilized to his best either. But them together, and again, like you said with Ryback, he did a couple interviews for SummerSlam and who he thought was going to win the Cena-Batista match and or the Cena-Lesnar match and all that stuff. And there is something there with him. And again, I don't want to see him in the main event or anything like that. But as far as better utilization, great. Again, another great example of it. Those four guys are spinning wheels to it's almost comedic in how long they've been doing this thing now with the Rhodes brothers debuting, but not debuting, being out there, but not being out there. It's just been really, really weird.
Let's continue this preview here. What else is on the show today? Third from the top, it's Bray Wyatt and Chris Jericho in a singles match. Rowan and Harper are banned from ringside. Do you really think they're not going to show up at ringside, Mike? Just out of curiosity.
I have a feeling they probably
will. They set
will.
This match up by having dudes banned from ringside and they showed up anyway. Who's banning them?
And that's the thing. There'll be some sort of sleight of hand or something like that. It's if this thing's going three, which everybody thought it would, even though it was a complete surprise, I think, to a lot of people on how the last match ended with Wyatt taking the whole thing and Jericho pulling the code breaker out of nowhere to get the pin. I'm figuring Bray Wyatt wins this. There's got to be something that takes place, and I would figure it would be some sort of outside interference somehow that sets up Bray ultimately getting the Duke over Jericho?
I think Bray's got to win this one to set up the third match. Jack Swagger.
Although, I'm sorry, but if they don't go three with this, it wouldn't surprise me either because, unfortunately, you know, with all of I think everybody was excited over the possibility of Bray Wyatt matching up with Chris Jericho, whether it be promos, in the ring, the whole nine yards, the whole package. I think people were really excited about that. For whatever reason, it has not clicked. And if they decided to end it 1-1 and way later on down the line have a match on Raw or something like that to quote-unquote kind of finish it, that really wouldn't shock me.
Jack Swagger and Rusev in a flag match. I don't think we have any idea what the flag match rules are yet. It's a mystery.
Yeah, and depending on where you were in the country for watching flag matches growing up, there could be a zillion and one different ways for you to win, whether it's capture the flag or cover the guy in the flag or whatever it is at the end. Maybe it's just the anthem. The amazing part is WWE has had no clue about this and have actually said two different things on both the website and what's come out of their mouths.
I predict that there have been a lot of back and forth about what the rules are. Nobody seems to have any idea. I predict at the end of the day that it is going to be a capture the flag match so that they can give Jack Swagger a win and continue this feud for one more match and at the same time not have to pin or submit Rusev.
How does this work? Does he have to fight through Rusev to get to the corner and struggle and capture the flag and he wins this? Like it's some sort of, you know, office camping excursion.
Sure.
That, you know, the everybody took and it's like, okay, see if you can go capture the flag and yay, you celebrate with it at the end. How is he going to go about this?
Maybe there's some sort of Lana try something and screws up and Swagger ends up grabbing the flag. I don't know how they'll do it, but it's not the worst. I mean, if you're going to...
I hope for Swagger's case, Lana is wearing a flag dress.
Sure.
If
you're going to win, then if you're going to beat Rusev because you want to continue this, then it's got to be a non-pinfall or submission. So I vote capture the flag for that particular match. AJ Lee and Paige for the Divas title. Doesn't really matter, I don't think. Who do you think is going to win?
Yeah, this one hasn't done a thing for me either. Paige. I don't see why AJ would win. I think this would just continue on with Paige rubbing it into her. And again, how this whole thing, you know, went down anyway with Paige winning the title. I thought that was great in the way that she did. But then AJ comes back and takes it away. I'll go with Paige winning this because to me, I guess storyline wise with how it's been going, it makes more sense. And I don't think this thing has matured yet either. I would figure if there's going to be a blow off, it'll be more at Night of Champions than here. So I think Paige winning would help continue this thing along.
Roman Reigns and Randy Orton. I would be baffled if Randy Orton won this match. Would make no sense. So I think the consensus would be that Roman Reigns is the winner.
Yeah, again, unless it's one of those things where Batista, because they're in L.A., comes back, which, you know, that's not a possibility. I don't know how much possible it is. There's always a chance somebody could pop up as a surprise. And maybe it's him, and that's how Reigns gets the win, or Reigns takes the loss or something like that. And I'm not for beating Roman Reigns, but I think you can do it in a really convoluted way that doesn't hurt him if it's, you know, top guys like a Batista or a Triple H helping Randy out to go ahead and do it. And again, you know, the only reason I would say do something like that is so you can extend it out again at Night of Champions, because I don't know exactly if they're what they would be in the mix at Night of Champions for if it's not with each other. So for that reason alone, I'll go with Orton getting a really, you know, dirty win.
We got Seth Rollins and Dean Ambrose in a lumberjack match. And I originally figured, well, obviously, probably this is going to be a series. So it doesn't really matter who wins here. You're going to do another match at Night of Champions and then another match at Hell in a Cell. So, you know, we'll just, it's irrelevant. One guy wins here, the other guy wins the next time, and then probably the babyface wins in the end. But with Dean Ambrose having signed to do a movie, a WWE Films movie, and he's going to start filming at the end of August. I mean, depending on his shooting schedule, he may not be around for those shows. So this could just be a blow-off. I don't know. I don't really
have... What kind of amazing nonsense is that?
I don't know. I didn't book him in the movie. The odds makers here. We're going to go over all the odds in just a second. But for Ambrose and Rollins, I want to see what these odds are. Seth Rollins is currently a slight favorite, probably because of the feeling that Ambrose will be gone doing the movie. But again, you don't know what the shooting schedule is going to be. It is a WWE film, so maybe they can work it in such a way that Ambrose can still show up at TV and on the pay-per-view. So, who's your pick?
I guess I'll go with Rollins because of the whole movie thing, even though, again, we can talk about it more as we, you know, a little bit later maybe, but, you know, you had 5 weeks of TV to lead into the September pay-per-view Night Champions. Then you had 5 weeks after that to lead into October where, you know, you've already pushed it off 1 month. You know, to me, this, you could have went with this and you had so much time to do so many good things with these guys who people are invested in and people, you know, actually care about. They were actually pissed off they didn't wrestle on the last show. And you have all these cool things you could do. I mean, I thought they were going to have some sort of, like, you know, Compton street fight, and it ends up being a lumberjack match, which screams, you know, and this is the babyface picking it, which to me screams that he's got to be screwed by somebody on the outside there. And whether, I don't know what direction they're going to take, but, you know, just for that reason alone, you'd figure they're going to have at least a second match, if not three, you know, at least, you know, three matches. So with the whole thing with the movie and everything now being involved, I'll go with Rollins winning because to me, no matter what happens, that would make the most sense. But it's very disappointing to me that they would go ahead and put him in that position where, again, you could have these two guys blowing up against each other and they desperately need something like for that to happen, too. I'm blown away by the mentality of taking him out of this and having him do movies. Again, there's a lot of time. Maybe he doesn't miss all that much, but to me, this is just really poor planning.
Well, we don't know. We still don't know what the shooting schedule will be. He may be around for all of this stuff. They may be able to still do some sort of program with him. I mean, maybe they could just even injure him to keep him out of the, you know, out of the ring off Raw for a month. But then he says that he'll be back in time for Night of Champions for another match. A lot of ways they could go. I guess we'll see what they do tonight. But as noted, Rollins is the favorite. None of this really means anything right now. This can all change. Quick look at the odds here. Stephanie McMahon is the favorite over Brie Bella, -150 to +110. So presumably they're thinking that that Nikki is probably going to screw Brie. So Stephanie McMahon, the favorite there. For the Intercontinental title, The Miz is the favorite over Dolph Ziggler, as we had predicted. Orton versus Reigns. Roman Reigns is the favorite. Really only by, he's at -700. I would expect it to have been -7,000, but apparently not. One outlet here does have him at -1,600, but, he is obviously the favorite there. Wyatt versus Jericho. We've got, Bray Wyatt at a -1,000 favorite, as one would expect, since, Jericho won the first battle. Divas title, AJ -200, but it is close. So almost a pick'em there. And finally, Jack Swagger versus Rusev. Swagger -162 to Rusev +120. So Swagger is a slight favorite. I would presume that, as noted, probably some finish where Rusev does not get pinned or submitted. And this feud must continue. All right, we're going to head to a break. Everybody back in just a moment. You're listening to Wrestling Observer Live, Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We're back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We are joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com, here every Sunday, 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 Eastern, Sports Byline USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio, Channel 92, 94, 794, XM Radio Channel 208, and streaming live worldwide on the internet at WrestlingObserver.com. Man, I ran downstairs during the break and ran back upstairs. I'm gasping for air. Still,
see, this is why Granny didn't want you to do any moves off the top rope. You have gotten so old now. Just one little match, and now you're so broken down. Arthritis kicking in, can't run the steps.
I'm still recovering from yesterday. Lord. Had a match against, actually, he's 47. So I can only imagine how he's feeling today, but we went out there last night in Portland and wrestled for 16 minutes.
You and Buddy Wayne.
In an opener, that's right. Buddy Wayne.
And the opener is trying to steal the show from those young kids, you wily vets getting in there first.
If we stole the show with a match that started with an 8-minute headlock battle, I don't know what to say about that.
Hey, I tell you what, I have the confidence that you two were Nakamura and Shibata like to start that with a very, hey, let me tell you something. For anybody that's ever actually been in a shoot headlock before, and I have, not the most comfortable thing in the world.
No, I was working very hard to cauliflower his ears. That was my, it's a badge of honor, Mike, cauliflowered ears.
That's what they would always tell me, is the guy would like rub my ear into my headpiece into the mat.
Oh yeah, yeah. Man, no headpieces in this match, Mike. We're hardcore.
So you lose an ear that way.
Chop the living hell out of each other. My chest is just all beaten up and blue and red and purple. I'm sure his is worse. Yeah, I'll just say this. We earned our money last night. That I will say. Buddy and I went out there and we earned our money. So I was very happy with it.
Who won, Russell, by the way?
I did. Senton off the top. Come on, Mike. Get with the program.
Just want everybody to know that.
That's right. That's right. I don't lose at this stage of my career, Mike. Those days are over. All right, everybody. We'll head back here at the top of the hour. It's our hourly break, so we'll be back in 7 minutes with more Wrestling Observer Live here on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. How's it going, everybody? Brian Alvarez here on Wrestling Observer Live. We're here for the next hour talking pro wrestling and mixed martial arts as we are every Sunday, 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 Eastern. Sports Byline at USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio, Channel 92, 94, 794. XM Radio Channel 208, and streaming live worldwide on the internet at WrestlingObserver.com. We have been spending a lot of time talking about this SummerSlam pay-per-view full hour preview in the last hour. And in this hour, we're going to talk a little bit more about SummerSlam, as well as talk about a lot of different news items, including the move of TNA Impact to Wednesday nights. Wednesday nights is going to be the new time for Impact, at least while the show remains on the air. Still no new deal with Spike TV, to the best of our knowledge. That, I guess, could change at any time. But for right now, it does not look good. They are just a few weeks away from the final episode. There's, like I said, no news on a deal. Davey Richards has broken his leg. It's just kind of... It's a very tenuous time for Impact. So we'll talk about that here in this hour, as well as tonight. Besides SummerSlam, there is the AAA Triple Mania pay-per-view. And who is going to be making an appearance on that show but the former Alberto Del Rio, now El Patron, is going to be debuting on the show tonight. We're going to be talking about that as well. And last night is happened to be a UFC event. I was in Portland. I was wrestling. Dave Meltzer was in Los Angeles for a WWE Media Day. So I don't think either of us have seen the show. Josh Nason was there covering it from the website. I know Mike has seen... Mike, have you seen the whole show or just parts of it?
I saw the entire main card. I did have the undercard on, but I didn't really pay much attention to it. But I did see the main card, yeah.
All right, so we'll have Mike talk about the main card of that UFC event, if there's anything that you need to check out on there, and a lot more. Plus, the War Machine has been captured, and I've got some things to say about that. So a lot of stuff coming up in hour two, everybody. You are listening to Wrestling Observer Live. We'll be back in just a moment here worldwide on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com, joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com, here every Sunday, 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 Eastern, Sports Byline at USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio, Channel 92, 94, 794, XM Radio Channel 208, and streaming live worldwide on the internet at WrestlingObserver.com. We are here previewing the SummerSlam pay-per-view, which starts moments after the show goes off the air on the WWE Network for, yes, just $9.99, as well as on traditional pay-per-view in a lot of places. So check it out here today. We spent much of the first hour previewing the show. We can talk a little bit more about it here in this hour, but we've got a lot of news to get into. Mike, since it did take place last night, quick review of the UFC show headlined by Ovin St. Preux and Ryan Bader.
Hey, for a free show on FS1, it was pretty good. There, like I said, I didn't see the undercard, but I know there were no finishes on the undercard. So again, I can't speak of the quality of it or anything like that. But at least if you're looking at just that on paper, wasn't very exciting. And they decided to run Maine just because they could. It was not a big crowd. It was a little over 5,000 people. It was about, a $370,000 gate. It was just part of the UFC's thing to try to run every single place in the country. And there is a possibility they'd go back to a place like Portland, Maine, which has got a solid building that with a little bit of a bigger attendance. This one took place in Bangor. But this was just a show to have a show in Maine. And for an FS1 show, again, it was, you know, not paying any money for it. It was pretty good. Thiago Tavares defeated Robbie Peralta. Tavares going down in weight. One of the things with him is can he take a good punch? And he hasn't really been able to. And Peralta just didn't get the chance to do anything to him. Tavares got Peralta's back and jumped on him right away. Peralta was able to at least stop the attack for a little bit, but ultimately Tavares beat him down and kept him on the ground and was able to lock on a rear naked choke and get a quick victory there. Then the former LSU fullback Sean Jordan knocked out Jack May in the third round, and it was a pretty fun sloppy bout. It was, you know, kind of back and forth. I had Jordan winning the first round. May, I thought, did a little bit more damage in the second round, even though he just was not good at the ground at all. May's I think a kickboxer is his background and needs to work on that. But ultimately, Jordan got the ended up knocking him out and put him down with a little bit of time left to go in the third round there. Alan Juban, I think his name was Juban, defeated Seth Baczynski in the first round by knockout there in his debut to the company. Then Tim Boach, who was kind of a lightning rod on people, either love him or they hate him. Actually, I shouldn't even say they love him. They're apathetic or they hate him and don't think a lot of his victories have been, not on the level would be the wrong word. But he has never really dominated it too many times and shown people that he could be a clear-cut victor. A lot of the fights he's won, people have thought that he's lost. And, you know, he was losing to Brad Tavares here and then scored a second-round knockout. Dropped him with a shot and kept himself at least employed. Forget about even in the mix. He's ranked number 14 at 205, but realistically, he was about to fall out of that and fall out of the company, period, because of some of his last performances. He was just completely embarrassed the last time out against Luke Rockhold, and this was kind of a make-or-break fight for him, so he at least kept himself employed for at least one more fight. He'll get a chance to have. Gray Maynard, looking like his career is, you know, certainly on the way out, at least as far as being competitive in the UFC. Ross Pearson, Maynard did his best to try to work the wrestling, but Pearson just was able to stand back enough and you know, stop any possible damage and flatten Pearson out or flatten Maynard out and just start beating on him, and ultimately won in the second round. As the referee jumped in, and then the main event, Ryan Bader defeated OSP. I actually picked Bader for this fight, pulled out at the very last minute and decided to take OSP. Maybe kind of bought into OSP's hype a little bit. He's had such a good run since he's been in the UFC. He's made strides, and Bader has always got that possibility of coming out, you know, kind of wet noodle-ish, you know, like and just a kind of a make or break fight for him too, as far as, you know, somebody that's going to be, you know, taken seriously in the mix here. And ultimately won a decision over OSP. OSP tried at the end. He knew he had to win the fifth round and really had to knock him out or choke him out. But just wasn't able to do it. He started off okay, but just couldn't keep up, and Bader ground him down. And again, ultimately got the unanimous decision victory.
So they captured the war machine. They
thank God
found this fella in a Simi Valley hotel room, and he went without a fight. They just knocked on the door and he came out. The best part of this story, Mike. I mean, there's really the best part of the story is he got caught. Terrible story. Hate to make light of the story in any way. Very serious situation. But when I read that. Apparently, he had, like, exotic reptiles, and so the cops went to his house after he'd been captured. And they went to his house, and guess who's at the house? Dog the Bounty Hunter. I nearly died. Dog the Bounty Hunter. Like, his plan to capture the war machine was to go to his house. That was his idea. Like, I'll go to his house. Because eventually he'll have to come home.
Really?
That was apparently his plan.
You know, war machine's a piece of garbage in one way. Dog is a piece of garbage in another way, in that you would go ahead and exploit this. I mean, as soon as he said, war machine, I'm coming to get you. You know, I'm sorry. He's not somebody you can take seriously. And the fact that he would go to his house, why? Because the police would then go to his house. Cameras would then go to the house and see Dog is looking for war machine, trying to pick up the scent at war machine's house so he can go out. That's the way I looked at this, and maybe I'm being way too negative about it, but that girl and that dude didn't deserve what War Machine gave him, you know, period. And for him to go and, again, people that try to exploit these things, it's just, it really is eye-rolling and sometimes downright stomach-churning.
Yeah, I see. I was responding to somebody's text right there. I'm sorry, Mike. It's hard to do a show and everybody's just texting me all the time. Leave me alone, everybody. I'm busy.
The scoops? Are you getting scoops?
Oh, my gosh. Anyway, yes, the war machine has been captured. Dog the Bounty Hunter did not find him. I don't know how that TV show is going to come off now that they didn't manage to apprehend him. But, yeah, Dog's on the hunt with his whole television crew. Oh, a comedy show. What do you think is going to... How long do you think War Machine's going away for, Mike? I know you're not a... You're not an attorney. You're not a military... Not in the military, but... I've just lost my mind here. Let's move on to another topic. I'm done with the War Machine anyway.
Hopefully a long goddamn time.
You know those times, Mike, where like... you guys don't know this as people that listen to the program, but Mike and I will be doing the show, and it's going along just great, and then there'll be a commercial break, and Mike will just go, ah! Sorry I sucked so bad during that segment. I'm like, Mike, you were great. That's how I feel right now, Mike. During this break, I'm going to go, Mike, I sucked so bad during this segment. It's just terrible.
And unlike you, who lies to me and says, you know what, yeah, that did suck. I'll tell you if you suck or not.
Oh, yeah. This is a bad segment right here. Let's get on to more more topical notes. Since we're on the UFC talk this segment here, John Jones, the world's greatest heel. John Jones has pulled out of his fight with Daniel Cormier. Why? Because John Jones suffered a knee injury. Now, keep in mind that Daniel Cormier has a very bad knee injury, and he was going to fight John Jones anyway. But John Jones sprained his ankle and injured his knee, and now he must pull out of this fight.
Do you want to specify this knee injury, by the way?
He tore his meniscus.
Uh-huh.
What's that have to do with anything?
People fought with that plenty of times.
Of course they have. Of course! If I were Daniel Cormier, I'd have material for 2 years worth of promos because this guy pulled out of this fight with me because he hurt his knee. As I'm hobbling my way into a fight with John Jones on short notice, I just think it's ridiculous. But that's why when this fight finally takes place, it's going to be a gigantic money fight because John Jones is such a great heel and Daniel Cormier, to me at least, is such a likable guy. We'll talk more about this, and I personally will turn this show around when we come back from the break. You're listening to Wrestling Observer Live here on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We're back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We are joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. We are here every Sunday, 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 Eastern, Sports Byline at USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio, Channel 92, 94, 794, XM Radio, Channel 208. And streaming live worldwide on the internet at WrestlingObserver.com. Been talking about a lot of different things here. We've been talking about SummerSlam, which is coming up immediately after the show goes off the air. We've been talking about the War Machine, kind of. I was just sort of babbling during that segment. Been talking a lot about Daniel Cormier and John Jones. Triple Mania is coming up here tonight. And Mike, as you noted, men have fought on a torn meniscus. What do you think of this John Jones fella and him pulling out of this fight?
You know, John Jones doesn't do any of the old school traditional things well, does he? You know, he was talked about giving him a fight on short notice. He could save a card. And he said no. There's this where, you know, Cormier is taking this fight on short notice with a very bad knee, knowing that one of John Jones's best gimmicks is to go after your knees. And he was going to take that fight from this long, angular man who's much taller, much more reach, and could do some real damage when that heel hits his knee as it's standing there locked up, which is already injured. You know, and you know Jones could fight on what he has, you know. But there's also the side that where John Jones has got legitimate arguments against all of that stuff. You know, why would I take a fight on short notice and risk my title? It's not my fault. You know, there's a very sporting way to look at that. That's absolutely true when it comes to this. Hey, I'm injured. Why would I want to risk myself? How much sense would it make for me to put myself out there just because Cormier is stupid and will do it and take a fight when he's not healthy? I am a athlete and I want to be at the peak of my condition, and you have excuses. And the best part about him making those very legitimate excuses are much like when any heel does it, it pieces people off more. There are people that hate John Jones's guts for a variety of different reasons, whether they think he's fake, whether they think he's aloof, whether no matter what it is. But the one thing you cannot deny is he is a great fighter. And he is becoming, I think, a little bit more self-aware. And this will obviously hurt business a little bit in the fact that it's 5 months away as opposed to being a month away. But I do not believe with the mouths that both of these two men have, with the brains that both of these two men have, that it's not going to be a very big deal once January rolls around. This will do nothing to make people that hate John Jones. It'll just make him hate him more. For doing something like this. But if you're a fan of John Jones and were on his side, you are most certainly going to say, hey, don't, you know, hate on my guy because he's got sense.
I just love the idea that my knee, it's so perfect. It couldn't be booked better. Daniel Cormier.
There's a history of guys on that Fight Pass channel you can show up that walked into Pride basically with no knees.
Oh, yeah.
Both of them.
Now, granted, I mean, ideally in a perfect world, both men are healthy. But Jones, such a trash talker, and then he can't fight with a hurt knee. And to be fair, Cormier has had a lot of time to heal his knee up. But the whole thing is just, it's funny to me. It's funny and entertaining as a pro wrestling. There's a small plane circling my house right now, Mike. Is there anything else that could distract me during this show?
I guess if they come in and raid you because you got some sort of operation going on.
I've never even seen this before. There's a small plane circling right over the house right now.
Is it Google or is it paparazzi? Have you blown up to that degree yet? Are you going to be on TMZ?
It looks like the plane the Red Baron flew, actually. It's an old biplane, it looks like.
That's really, oh man. Well, after he's done, after he puts it down, make sure to buy him a root beer.
That's right. All right, what else Snoopy. Do we have here? Chael Sonnen fought at Metamoris.
Speaking of cartoons.
That's right. This was actually last week. I don't know how much we talked about Metamoris on this show, but Chael Sonnen did in fact fight. I do not believe he has yet been fined $1.25 million. There goes the biplane now for the third time circling around my house. I'm gonna monitor this as we continue the show, Mike, because it's so intriguing to me. But Chael Sonnen did the fight. He lost. He did lose, but he put up a fight. And did you happen to see any of the Metamoris matches?
I didn't actually, and I really would like to too, because I guess there were some controversial finishes and things like that. I'd like to see it.
Thing with this Metamoris deal was when they announced that Chael was going to be competing. What was interesting about it was Chael obviously is suspended from mixed martial arts. And he failed for 5 different drugs. Chael did an interview last week, by the way, and he flat out admitted, I tried to game the system.
With Chris Jericho.
That's right. I tried to game the system. I knew why I was taking them. I was taking them to feel better. I mean, flat out just admitting that he did it and why. So he does his interview. And I mean, we all knew he failed for 5 drugs. And the idea that he was even going to work this Metamoris show, I mean, they should have just pulled him from the event but they refused. And I guess we'll see how this all, the fallout of all of this, but by refusing to pull him from the card, he got the athletic commission to become a lot more aware of Metamoris and the fact that Metamoris clearly is not doing any drug testing. Out of their own mouths, they said this. We will test nothing but his skills. That's what they said. And we'll see what the fallout is, but it is possible that because of all of this, because they didn't pull him, it is possible that Metamoris may now see itself investigate. Not investigate is the wrong word, but the athletic commission may look into attempting to sanction or requiring sanctioning for these Metamoris events. So that would really change the game for them in a lot of ways. Not saying that everybody there is doing drugs or anything like that, but one would suspect at a sporting event, if there's no drug testing, the idea that everybody on the event is clean, you know, as a fan, you would sort of think, I don't know about this whole thing. So they could have sort of brought themselves into a situation where now they're going to have to test people or now they're going to have to be overseen by the commission. And I don't know if they're going to like that, but I guess we'll see how that all plays out.
I guess that could be true, but you also have to look at it this way. What is to prevent them from just calling all of the matches, exhibitions, taking the event, moving it either out of state or moving it to a Indian reservation, a Native American reservation that is not under the guise of the CSAC? And even if they were, that's fine. But you're going to have be exhibitions. There's going to be, I'm sure, backlash from Metamoris when California comes to test their fighters, and they will bring up the question, look, is this, these are exhibitions, to which the commission will come back and say, well, you know, this is an event, we're going to test these guys. And you bring up the fact of the, is it worth the cost to the taxpayers of California to drug test these guys? Is this event really worth going out there to do, with it being a grappling tournament that's got nothing to do with strikes? And I'm not trying to make excuses here or anything like that, but I don't know how far this will really actually go, considering how, you know, small of an event that Morris is and how little attention that it gets. And I have I had a problem with the Nevada State Athletic Commission being a little bit heavy-handed and having, to me, a little bit too far of a reach here in stopping Chael. Look, the fact of the matter is, and I'm not making excuses, and it would always piss me off to hear Roddy Piper, like on HBO, where it's like, oh, without wrestling, what am I going to do now? You get a job like everybody else. And we're not saying that you can't do that with Chael, but he's lost two announcing gigs. He was, you know, lost his ability to fight, which he absolutely should have. You know, he was not, at the time of that hearing, prevented from doing this. And if you want to say from this point forward, you know, he can't fight in competitive events, fine, but they should have actually said, hey, oh, by the way, if you decide to fight in California, and as of this day, we're going over to talk to California about you appearing on this event, then that would have been one thing. They chose not to do that. They were more concerned with trying to get Chael on board to drop dimes on everybody, you know, else, and maybe you can help us, Chael. Well, maybe you should have actually said at that time he would not be able to go through with an event that he is basically looking at as an exhibition, and, you know, you never bothered to say anything until it was too late. So I had a big problem with them doing that. And I think you're going to have a problem with him, too, if he decides to do exhibitions, quote-unquote, whether it's for good reason or for nefarious reasons, he's going to do this. How much is Nevada going to be able to stop him after a while? By just taking out the fact he can be a paid person to be there, but if it's judged as an exhibition and has nothing to do with a quote-unquote fight, how are they going to be able to keep preventing him from trying to earn a living?
We got to talk about TNA Impact. A lot of stuff going on in Impact Wrestling. Davey Richards suffered a broken leg in a spot that I didn't learn about this until today. But last night, when I was getting ready for the match with Buddy, we were talking about how we were going to set up the comeback. And he suggested a baseball slide. And I said, nope, not doing it. Because I still have, I don't want to say I have nightmares, but I remember way back in the day when Rob Van Dam went for that baseball slide and he broke his ankle. And you got those wrestling boots on and you've got a canvas, and I've never liked the baseball slide. I've always had this fear that if I did a baseball slide, I was going to end up doing a RVD and snapping my ankle. So I put a stop to that baseball slide. Well, I found out today, Davey Richards broke his leg doing a baseball slide. Hate that move. So he broke his leg. Davey is a trained EMT, so I guess, I don't know what
he
happened.
He set his own leg?
I don't want to say he set his own leg, but I'm sure that, you know, he kind of helped everybody that was running around, everything like that. But took him to the hospital. He got his leg looked at. They don't know the extent and the recovery time yet. They have all of their television taped up through September 25th, and God only knows if there's even going to be a show after September 25th. So if Impact gets re-signed to Spike TV or wherever, if his leg is good enough to be back in time, they'll just continue on like nothing happened. And if not, I guess they'll have to strip the Wolves of the titles. We're going to talk about the future of TNA as well as the move to Wednesday nights, what it means when we come back from the break. You're listening to Wrestling Observer Live here on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We are joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. We're here every Sunday, 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 Eastern, Sports Byline USA Radio Network. Sirius Satellite Radio, Channel 92, 94, 794. XM Radio, Channel 208, streaming live worldwide on the internet at WrestlingObserver.com. As noted, we are available not only on Sirius Satellite Radio, but the Sirius Satellite Radio app. You can search the Sports Zone area on the Sirius Satellite Radio app. We are on the TuneIn Radio app as well, the American Forces Network. Big shout out to everybody listening on the American Forces Network, the cable radio network. This is the most listened to wrestling / mixed martial arts radio show anywhere in the world, which, by the way, since at the time that we are doing the show, we have no proof of intelligent life outside of this planet. We are currently the most listened to wrestling and mixed martial arts radio show anywhere in the whole universe. So there you go. And it may always be like that, because even if there's life on other planets, Mike, I'm not sure that they've invented anything as wacky as pro wrestling. That is very much in question. If you love this show, I recommend you go to WrestlingObserver.com. We do daily radio shows on the website. Every single day we do radio shows. Usually two per day. Sunday is a very special day. This is my first of three shows today. I've got another Wrestling Observer Radio with Dave Meltzer tonight, as well as a Brian and Vinny show talking SummerSlam, Vinny's honeymoon, and so much else. That is coming up tonight on the Wrestling Observer website. As a subscriber, you get full access to all of the brand new shows, plus our full library, over 6,000 audio shows, triple the size of WWE's on-demand library on the WWE Network. You'll never run out of audio if you're a subscriber to WrestlingObserver.com. If you like this show, I guarantee you that you will love and use forever a subscription to WrestlingObserver.com. New shows every day, past shows, jump into the archive. We've got interviews with the biggest names in the history of wrestling. So much awesome stuff on the website. And yes, the big name guest that I promised last week is actually going to come up this week. So it'll be a big surprise, and I think everybody's really going to like it. So that is coming up this week, and a lot of other stuff as well. So check it out.
Are you going to tell me who it is?
No. If you order, yes, I will, Mike, of course. If you order a long-term subscription, $9.99. Month to month, it's $10.99, but trust me, it is worth every penny. WrestlingObserver.com. Go up there and check that out.
Am I getting a book, by the way?
Sure.
It better be personalized.
It'll be personalized. It'll be called The Death of Mike Sempervivi. Not that personalized?
How creative of a... You know what? I'm fine. Will it be some sort of choose your own adventure? Can I choose my own death pattern?
You know what's funny is I was... When I went to Calgary to see Lance, we went to a used bookstore in Calgary. And it was like new, used, and antique books. And I don't think it was in the antique section. It might have. But there was a little kid in there. And the little kid is asking the person that runs the place, like, you know, I'm looking for some books, blah, blah, blah. And the guy that ran the place brought him over to, like, the old dusty section that had all of the choose your own adventure books. I was like, Jesus Christ, I'm old. Choose your own adventure. I read those when I was a little kid.
That's what we had Oregon Trail. We were, you know, we're so old. We're so old. The first, as people are talking about the WWE Network, like Vince and watching it on his Xbox, we were technically around at the time of Pong. Pong, the very first one.
Oh, yeah. I played a version of Pong. I used to, when I was a kid, I programmed on an Apple IIe in a Commodore 64. Those are like in museums right now. What I was working on when I was a kid. I played Pong. I played Zork.
Tests.
Remember those games where you like typed in what you want to do, like go north, Zork. Remember all those?
Yes, yes.
Oh
we
my
didn't have
god!
I go to a friend's house and you would do that, and it's like it would be so slow. But I mean, it was at the time the most amazing thing ever.
The extent of my programming experience was I used to use BASIC. You don't even remember that. That's how old I am.
Here's the extent of me using a computer, because it'd be like Avery this year. He's got to have earbuds and things like that to take to school to when he's using either the iPads or the computers. When I was a kid, the only time I'd ever put my finger on a computer was in 1984 at our school. They asked who would you want to be president, Mondale or Reagan? And I went to a heavily ethnic school, so they chose Mondale. He didn't win. In fact, he was beaten thoroughly, but that's for another day. But after that, it wasn't until middle school where there was one computer at the time that was in the library. And at lunch, if you wanted to play Oregon Trail in green and in black, that's what it was. And then it was a big revelation like a year later when they got a computer that had color on it. And it was the biggest thing ever.
You know what? You said Oregon Trail like five times, and I could not remember that game until you finally mentioned.
You died of dysentery.
You finally mentioned you'd played it in middle school, and all of a sudden it was like, oh my god, the Oregon Trail? I do remember that game.
They had like that and one other game you could play, and that was about it.
Well, everybody, if you're sick of hearing about this, you'll be happy to know that I also used to play the old pro wrestling video game with Starman. And the Amazon who would chomp you. And, back in the day. I don't remember anything now. I did BASIC, and then there was BASIC A, and then I believe Q BASIC. And after that, I just totally gave up. Way too advanced for my diminutive brain. But anyway, TNA Impact is moving to Wednesdays. And what that means is anyone's guess. This could be Spike TV just getting rid of him into a death spot before they finally pull the plug. Or this could be a test. I mean, the NFL is moving to Thursdays. It's going to go head-to-head with Impact. And Impact does not want to go. And Spike TV, you know, if you've got a property like Impact, you don't want them going head-to-head with the NFL. So it could be a preemptive move to move them to Wednesdays, see if things are all right as they continue to negotiate. My feeling is still at the end of the day that Spike TV had a take it or leave it attitude with Impact. It'd be nice to have. It doesn't really matter. It does decent ratings, but Cops does decent ratings as well. And Cops replays, I'm sure, are a hell of a lot cheaper than Impact. So it'd be nice to have. We can use it, but we don't need it. So who cares? And then the Vince Russo thing came up, and to them it was like, you know, the golden ticket fell into their lap to just go, you know what? You had a guy hired. You lied to us about Vince Russo. You know what? And I'm sure they didn't bring this up, but they just, it was very clear. We're done. You know, we're not going to renew the show. The show will effectively be canceled at the end of the contract. And to me, it was a negotiating ploy where now they may get Impact back at an even more reduced rate. Whether there are any other suitors that Dixie Carter could go to, I don't know. At the end of the day, my gut feeling is, if you really want to know my gut feeling is they will re-sign with Spike TV at a severely reduced rate, which will make things even more difficult for the company. That's where I think this whole thing is going. They could outright just go out of business. But I just have this feeling they're going to end up with a reduced contract at Spike. What do you think, Mike?
Yeah, we kind of talked about this over the last couple of weeks where I thought in my mind that's exactly possibly what they were doing. Not anything other than you know, you screwed us, so we know we're your only source of money. We know you don't have any. You know, we see the pictures. We send people to shows. We see what's going on. We know what's going on. And you completely defied us. You lied to us for absolutely no reason whatsoever. Screw you. And, you know, the one thing that Spike, you know, the one thing Spike needs, though, is programming. And they need to fill voids. And even though they could do it for a lot cheaper, I think they are looking at this, that, like you said, we don't have to give you that much because you're going to have to take with whatever we give you. You are what you are. You know, we could put you in a garage or a gym like this was 1983 Georgia Wrestling All-Stars, and, you know, Jim Cornette is there with, you know, the Angel in Wrestling Steve-O, where there were five people in a warehouse. And, you know, if it's still going to draw a million people, then that's what we're going to do. So, you know, the ball's completely in Spike's court, and even though they do need programming, they don't necessarily have to have it on there. And to be honest, I still think by this time next year, we won't have a Spike. I mean, we won't have a TNA. There may be somebody else, you know, in wrestling taking its place, probably a company that's owned wholly or a majority of by Spike TV. And I could see that, but I still don't think, you know, and this move to Wednesday is not good. It's not the end of the world or anything, but it's not good. But I just completely see this thing not being in the same form it is, even if there is wrestling on Spike TV next year.
Let me ask you this question. If you were Spike TV, you've kind of got a couple of options here. Maybe, okay, you actually have probably three options. Option number one is you just say, nah, forget about it. Impact, you're out of here. Best of luck in your future endeavors. Let's go around and look at a bunch of other promotions that maybe we could sign to a television deal. Just throwing out some random names. You can't really do Ring of Honor and Aaron Sinclair, but a Dragon Gate USA or a Turnbuckle Championship Wrestling, because I know they've already got a television show, you know, someplace like that. You could do that. That's number one. Ohio Valley Wrestling. Although all of these places, I mean, it's going to be, you know, you're kind of rolling the dice because they'd be going to a big national platform as opposed to what they had been doing before. Big jump, a lot of risks. There's that option. Option number two is you wait until TNA is on death's door. You cancel the programming. Dixie Carter is looking around to sell, and then you go, okay, you know what? We'll buy it. We'll buy everything. We'll buy all the infrastructure. We'll buy it all, and now we're going to put it back on television, but we're owning it instead of the Carter family. That's number two. Or number three, you let the whole thing die. You don't buy it, but you essentially form your own promotion and you hire all of the people, all of the worthwhile people, and have them come in for your new Spike TV promotion. The positive of that is you don't have to pay to buy the promotion. The bad news is you're starting essentially from scratch. All of the infrastructure is gone. You've got to essentially rebuild. What way would you go, Mike?
I think I would, because you're obviously not going to buy ROH from Sinclair, I think you go ahead and you wait it out. You dump them off TV. You wait till everything expires or however that whole thing works. You get a Jarrett or somebody where you buy a name, you buy into the company, and you just start signing these guys. I would make friends with Jared just because, you know, he's got the into New Japan, and you could try to bring in guys like the Bullet Club guys who don't have, you know, ink on paper contracts with Ring of Honor. They're just handshakes and things like that. You utilize those guys. You utilize Scott D'Amore in Border City. You reach out to maybe the NWA, a guy like Bruce Tharp, and you start doing things that way where you try to get as many people under contract as you can. But for the ones you can't, you're at least, you know, being able to use guys like that. And I think you throw that something like that on there that you hold the cards to and that you're promoting and you have an interest in. And you go ahead and you take that route. I think that would be the way to go. Obviously, in a fantasy perfect world, I would say, you know, you broker a deal with Ring of Honor and then you still kind of do the same things I was talking about. But the reality is you can't do that. You can't buy a PWG or something like that because, again, you have contract issues and all that sort of stuff. So I think you just wait till it dies and then you try to build this thing and cherry pick the guys that you can who aren't under deals and try to lock them in and, use as many of the good indies as you can to your traditional championship wrestling, your borders, things like that.
Well, hold on 10 seconds here, very quickly. At this time next year, is there a promotion running on Spike TV? A promotion?
Yeah, I think there is.
All right. We're going to head to a break, everybody. When we come back, we will wrap it up with SummerSlam thoughts. You're listening to Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here for the final segment of the show. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com, joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com, here every Sunday, 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 Eastern, Sports Byline USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio, Channel 92, 94, 794, XM Radio Channel 208, and streaming live worldwide on the internet at WrestlingObserver.com. Final segment of the show, SummerSlam is about to begin. Brock Lesnar versus John Cena is the main event of the show for the WWE World Heavyweight title. We have got Bray Wyatt versus Chris Jericho with Eric Rowan and Luke Harper banned from ringside. Brie Bella versus Stephanie McMahon. Jack Swagger faces Rusev in a flag match. AJ Lee versus Paige for the Divas Championship. Randy Orton versus Roman Reigns. The Miz versus Dolph Ziggler for the Intercontinental title. And Dean Ambrose is facing Seth Rollins in a lumberjack match. There was a creative meeting last night. Very little was changed. We do know there may be one surprise on the show tonight. What that will be, who knows?
Cesaro actually beats RVD.
Well, we'll see.
Win.
We'll see what the surprise ends up being. But that is tonight on pay-per-view. Later on tonight, myself and Dave Meltzer back with a brand new Wrestling Observer Radio. We will be talking about all of the news from SummerSlam. We'll talk about all the news from the weekend as well, all of the results from the show. I will also be back later with a brand new Brian and Vinny show. We'll be talking about SummerSlam, Super China Buffet Day, my match last night, Vinny's honeymoon. My God, we got a lot of things to talk about on the show tonight. So make sure you head over to WrestlingObserver.com and check that out. As always, I want to thank Mike, all of the folks at Sports Byline USA, and all of you, the listeners. Next week, we will be back with a brand new show. We'll have a lot of SummerSlam fallout to talk about. Lots of SummerSlam fallout. Should be a very interesting show. Don't forget that Raw is tomorrow. Should note, there is going to be a new WWE Championship belt that will be presented on the show tomorrow with the new WWE logo on it. Is Brock Lesnar really taking that home and off television? We'll find out tonight. You're listening to Wrestling Observer Live. Talk to you next week here on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network.